Man's proverb. No, you have permission to read. Mo.
23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied, and he will not be visited by harm.
All right. So, the fear of the Lord leads to life, right? And the idea is, you know, all of us, I think, desire to some degree to put our heads on the pillow at night, sleep good, right? Rested sleep, because we are secure. We are. Living a life that, man, we've given it 110% in a sense, and are living our lives with integrity in a way that we fear nothing, right? So if you want to sleep good at night, and, you know, I'm not some sleep doctor, but from the integrity side of things, this is how you do it. The fear of the Lord leads to life, right? And you live a right life as a result of it. What would the opposite of that be? One who does not sleep well at night. Why would they not put their head on the pillow and not be satisfied? Yeah, not fearing God. So what would be the opposite of, what does a lifestyle look like that does not fear God?
Well, then you're not leading into your worries and anxieties, so you're holding on to them. You're fearing.
Yeah, to some degree. For sure. I think one of the things that comes up to me is, I was just thinking through this a little bit, just the idea of someone who fears God, man, their life is, it's integrity. That's where you get that word integer, oneness. It's consistent. It's the same in the sense that there's one story. There's one thing that's going on in their life, and that's it. So someone that is not that way often has a duplicitous lifestyle, if you will. So, or is maybe prone to lying or things like that. So, what happens when you lie? By the way, if you tell person A one story that's the truth, and person B, you know, a different version of said truth, what happens immediately when you do that? What must you do as an individual? You got to remember. I told this story here and this story here, and I told this person this story and that person that story. Okay, what else do you have to worry about with person B? Who's person B going to talk to? Who is in my circle of influence that person B may talk to? So I've got to remember what I said, who I said it to, and who said person may interact with and get that sherry stored. Now, what happens when you start adding just a layer of complexity to that? Now you've got an A story, a B story, and a C story. I mean, you see how complicated and how quickly that can just make your mind go, oh my gosh, like, what did they say? Who are they going to talk to? What exactly did I tell them? So that when person A asked what I told person B, and then person C, it's like, man, that's a nightmare. So you just as an example of living our lives in a sense of integrity and keeping life simple. I can't imagine having to juggle all those balls, right? And I don't know that any of us in here are prone to lying, but there obviously are other areas where we are maybe more prone to not living an integral life, if you will. So just as a good reminder to us, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Walking with God, do what you can, you know, dig with the shovel that God's given you and leave the results to Him, right? Put your head down at night and sleep and know that ultimately He is in control if we fear Him. So, okay? So thoughts on that before we move on to David?
Could you talk a little bit more about, like, does it mean by the fear of the Lord, like fearing God?
Yeah. That's a good question, because I think oftentimes I had a very different understanding, I think, of what fear is. Fear is not afraid of in the context of Scripture. Fear is an awe and a profound respect for God and His ability and His power. Now, there's a part of that when you realize God is able to do things far beyond what I am capable, that should invoke a healthy sense of fear in us. He can part the Red Sea. He can raise people from the dead. He can drop frogs out of heaven, you know, right? He can do anything. And that in itself is scary. There was I don't know if you guys ever saw this. This was like on the tail end of my childhoods before Anna Selly makes fun of me and calls me her father again. So dirty. Anna Selly works at Jamba Juice. And she was very gracious. We walked in there and she said, hey, I'll use my discount to get you a Jamba Juice. She's like, I'll just tell everybody you're my dad. Like, can we go with maybe older brother or cousin? So she meant that as a compliment. And then I started doing the math and I'm like, dang it, I guess I actually could be. So, how old are you?
20.
20, yeah. I'm 38, so it's actually not that inconceivable. However, so next time let's go with like older brother, okay? Just for clarity. So let me at least hit 40 and have a midlife crisis before we actually get to that point. So where was I? Anyway, Fear somewhere.
You're about to say something about at the time end of your childhood.
Twilight Zone. Thank you. There was a show that talked about, there was this kid that had the powers of God, but did not have the heart of God. So he was sovereign and all capable, but was not benevolent, right? So it was this really weird deal where you realize this kid was all powerful, and if you didn't appease him, you literally needed to fear him, because he made us get angry and, you know, drop a boulder out of heaven to smash you because you didn't look at him correctly, right? So the balance of that is we have an all-powerful, all-capable God, but he's also benevolent. And that causes us not to fear in the sense of I need to be afraid of, but to be in awe of his majesty and power. Does that make sense? So a healthy fear of God is a respect and a whatever, right? We went shooting the other day with my kids, my dad, their grandfather, right? We're trying to teach our kids a healthy fear of guns. Like, you need to respect them, because if you don't, you need to rightly fear them if you mishandle them. Now, if you handle them correctly and you learn how to be safe, then there's nothing to fear. But the power that you wield in your hands, you know what I mean? So it's the same type of deal. It's not the gun that's going to get me in trouble. It's the idiot that's using it at said time, right? So anyway, so that's kind of how I look at it. So we do need to fear God. We need to have a healthy, reverent awe of God. So if I was to substitute a word, I would write the word awe. Like, we need to be in awe of God and all that leads to. Does that make sense? Okay.